Good morning to all of you. The subject today is one that I think that we experienced yesterday. Christ lives in you. Usually in religion, we get tired of hearing that this is the only way or that is the only way. And so it's with a little bit of a feeling of awkwardness that I say that. And yet it's true. Not this, meaning our particular path, but meditation, what we experienced yesterday. The experience of God is the only way. Not talking about Him, not just believing in Him, not doing a lot of outward rituals, but the experience of His presence within. To know that Christ lives in you. To know that this is a living reality and not just something that we hope will happen after we die. This is something that we must make alive, because although Christ lives, we can see that He lives in varying degrees. I showed the slideshow that many of you have seen already, that new one called Different Worlds, which shows different states of consciousness in people, just looking closely at their faces and their eyes. And it shows how many dead ends people find, dead ends of bitterness and cynicism and worldly desire and so on. And it shows that those people who have life in their eyes are almost without exception devotees, people who are living for God, living to know God. I say almost without exception because it isn't a matter of belief, and sometimes people find something of God without even knowing it. Sometimes when people find joy in what they're doing, that joy that they find is something inside themselves. It's a spark of God, although they may not call it that. But anybody who has some sort of inner experience of life's vitality, and the more people pursue that inner experience consciously, rather than finding it sort of through the back door by accident, the more you find this joy, this peace, this love, this awareness in their eyes. And the same thing then must be understood on all levels, that Christ lives, but in some he lives more consciously than others. We have to bring Him to life within us. He's there. He's alive, all right. Are we alive in Him? That's the real issue. We have to be alive to that presence. And the thing about it is that you only really can be alive to something if you work at it. It doesn't come automatically. It's something that you don't become a good artist or a good musician or a good writer or a good anything by accident. Many works many poems, for example, are written by people who think that if they're vague enough, they'll be professing some sort of truth, even if they don't know what it is, that will inspire people. It seems to be a part of the whole concept of modern art, is that if you say nothing, you'll be hitting a broad enough territory to move many people. But in fact, the opposite is true. And those works that live are works that say something. In the beginning, people may be impressed with your cleverness, with your technique. I think of E.E. Cummings, who did this clever thing with graphics, and everybody was very excited by his poetry. Who reads him today? Practically nobody. The novel, the extraordinary, the fascinating, these things pass away. Truth is simple. Truth doesn't change. Truth is never a truism, which is to say merely a platitude, if it is lived. A platitude is a truth that is not lived. But if you live your truths, you will find that they don't change from age to age. They merely become your own. What we need to do is live in Christ. And the purpose of this Christmas season primarily is to awaken us to that reality. The more we live it consciously, don't think that just as Master says that if you live for God, you'll get good karma, but you won't get God unless you also meditate. You won't get divine consciousness. You'll get the good karma to be brought back onto the path and try it all over again. But what about God consciousness? This comes only through being conscious of Him. It cannot come absent-mindedly. And so to make Christ live in your heart, you have to practice it daily. You have to become more and more, it must be your creative project. to think, how can I live more perfectly for him? And how can I meditate more deeply? A long all-day meditation, such as we had yesterday, should be a reminder to do more of that every day. How wonderful we felt at the end of yesterday, and how wonderful we feel after a good meditation. Sometimes you feel like laughing your head off with joy. Sometimes you feel like not talking to anybody with joy. It's always different. It isn't the same sort of thing every day. Oh, ho-hum, here's another bit of joyful meditation. It's not as if having done it once, you've done it. Every day it's different. Every moment the expression is itself. Just as I never saw Master look the same twice. And so for Christ to live in you means to take him out of the realm of dogmas, out of the realm of mere beliefs, and to make him something that is going to shed light on everything that you do. One of the loveliest things I've read is quotations by Richard Wurmbrand of Romanian Christians who answered different questions, different doubts, or expressed what they believed, what they had lived, and none of them had had a chance for any formal theological training because religion is taboo in Romania today. Virtually taboo. I met one very shifty-eyed monk as he took my money to go into the monastery, and some spy was there whispering over his shoulder, and I couldn't but believe that Richard Wurmbrand was right when he said that those who are there now are almost without exception, except for the old people whom they're allowing to just die off, are really government stooges. But the people who wanted to live religion couldn't get it from books. They could get it sometimes from the Bible, but they couldn't get it from priests and ministers. And so they had to get it from themselves. And the answers that they gave were so fresh and so beautiful that it helped me to realize that religion is something that we must take out of the churches and into the homes. That's something that Ananda is here to do. To try to make religion something that we don't confine to a Sunday morning, and to try to make of it also something that isn't locked away in the monasteries. Everywhere you go in this country and abroad, going through Italy, which is the country of monasticism in Europe, in the West, monastery after monastery, empty. So few people, there are some, of course, but so few compared to what used to be there. Why? Does this mean that man is turning away from God? Yes, to some extent, surely. But God also is working in a new way. He's trying to show that we need new kinds of monasteries. We need new kinds of dedication. We don't need to speak anymore in terms of if you want to find God, you have to get away from it all. Lock yourself in a cell and have nothing to do with the outside world. This was a necessary choice in the Dark Ages when people, when the pull of the world was so hard, so heavy, that if people wanted God, they had to absolutely get away from everything. But now, the trend, the divine dispensation is a new one. And what we need now is to say to the world, look, we can live a spiritual life and yet live a normal life. And this we can do in what Master called World Brotherhood Colonies, where people can live together, where they can serve God together and have the inspiration, which is very much needed still, of other devotees on the path. Almost all, in fact, communities, villages, towns, cities, have come together for economic reasons. It happened to be a fertile area which produced good crops. It happened to be a good area for a port. It happened to be a good area for some industry that people could go gather around, and then around that gathered tailors and cobblers and so on. But now we're starting a new kind of community. People getting together primarily for spiritual reasons. And this example, I believe, is going to spread. How to make Christ living in your life, how to make him live in you. This is the example that we're setting and that we're helping people to take home to their own communities, even though they may not be able to live in a spiritual community, they can create a spiritual community in their homes. They can begin to try to draw around them spiritual friends instead of the usual cocktail drinking variety of friends, back patio barbecue type. But people who like to meditate together, who like to talk together about divine things. I remember a cocktail party at my parents' house once, and I was talking with somebody, and one of my brothers came over and said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, philosophy." "Ah, philosophy, yeah," like this. It's considered bad form, I think, to talk about spiritual things or even philosophy. But when you get spiritual friends, you find that it's not bad form. It's the only thing to talk about, or things related to it. And there's so much joy involved in that. I remember coming back from India. I'd been there for a year and a half. And I came back to Los Angeles, and some cousins of mine invited me to their home. Well, I hadn't seen them in years. And naturally, the news of the moment was my trip to India, I would think. The sort of thing that nobody in the family had done, I'd never done, they'd never done. New. After all, what happens when you're living in a home and all you've got for news is that you bought a new shower head? And would you believe they didn't ask me one question? There was a favorite TV program that they wanted to watch, which was followed by another favorite TV program, a bunch of girls lined up, half nude, kicking their legs in the air. And this is what I had to endure for the evening. Not a single talk. I allowed us how that new shower head was great, and I wanted one myself. And that was it. Other houses you go to, and they'll talk about nothing but football or baseball, or it's wonderful when you find that people who have life in them, because they're closer to a spiritual consciousness, that life pours out into all sorts of things. I'm sure that when those of you who do like to watch football, talk about it afterwards, it still is a little bit on a higher level. And where, well, I see the Raiders did pretty good yesterday. Yep. Because it spills over into every aspect of life. It isn't as if you've got to sit there and talk about God all the time. But when you talk with God, when you talk with divine consciousness, even your laughter takes on a new kind of joy. Even your ordinary entertainments take on a certain enthusiasm and beauty. And so it is that it all really begins from that level, no matter how far down it comes. The key to it all is meditation. And I'd love to see a meditation like yesterday sink into your hearts as a new affirmation to meditate more and more deeply through this coming year. Meditate with joy, meditate with length, meditate with depth. If you can do, as I was saying a few months ago, at least 3 hours a day, and really make them count. Do 108 kriyas twice a day. Do as much meditation and japa as you can, and you will see that this, more than anything else, will make Christianity true again. So many people in the Christian world derive their inspiration from denouncing one another. It's a pretty sick kind of inspiration. They don't. If they talk to you about what you're believing that's wrong, and you try to convince them that in fact you believe basically the same thing, they won't be satisfied. They'll have to look for something else where you're wrong. They're never satisfied unless they can prove how wrong the other person is. Bigotry, fanaticism, these attitudes don't talk with love. And there's more and more of that kind of thing happening. I can see it building up into real persecution of groups like ours. But let's keep our hearts and minds in God, because that's the only thing. When all the shouting is over and the cheering has died, then what remains? When we leave this world, we leave everything behind us. But we don't leave him behind if we've taken him with us.